Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Thunder Buddies podcast. I'm Maddie Lee, joined by Joe Masato at Chesapeake Energy Arena after the Thunder's 108-101 win over the Detroit Pistons. As you can tell by that score, it was surprisingly close for a Thunder team that stood pat at the deadline against a Pistons team that not only traded the centerpiece of their roster away.
Centerpiece.
It's very, very central. but also had like half their roster injured.
Yeah. I mean, this game is not one to remember. I just thought it was, I described it earlier as unremarkable. And I'm saying that because this is a game that the Thunder should have won easily without Andre Drummond. Obviously, Blake Griffin's not playing the rest of the year, but also without Luke Kennard. John Henson, who arrived in the Bucks trade, is not with the team yet. No Markieff Morris, no Brandon Knight, no Derrick Rose. Like, they were playing nine guys, and a lot of them were guys who would not be in the Thunder's rotation. Yet, this was very close.
It sure was. I mean, when you look at Drummond being gone, like if he was still in the Pistons, the Steven Adams-Drummond matchup would be one that we focused on. But instead, they've got Thon Maker starting, who actually played extremely well tonight. But you look at him, and he's like half the size of Steven. He's the same height as him, or even a little taller, but he's just not very sturdy. He's a thin guy. Who do you think has more mass, Thon or Nerlens?
Oh, that's a good question. You know what?
I might say Nerlens.
I was gonna give Thon Maker a slight edge, but they're both built very similarly, and the Pistons just don't have any strength inside after losing Drummond, who definitely has his warts. I mean, makes $28 million a year. He is a traditional center without a skill set to really match today's NBA. And essentially at the trade deadline, he was a salary dump. They got two guys who aren't a part of their future plus a second round pick. But it's much easier to play the Pistons without Andre Drummond because they've got Thon Maker and not much else inside. I mean, Christian Wood was fantastic tonight, but he's not a center.
Okay, I've got their weights according to Basketball Reference, and it doesn't help us much. So Nerlens Noel, according to Basketball Reference, is 6'10".
It also says his nickname is the Eraser. I don't believe that.
I've never heard that in my life before.
The Nerlens
Wall.
Also,
the Nerlens Wall.
Good. Basketball Reference nicknames aren't right.
I am very proud of Basketball Reference, though, with how quickly they added Fun Guy.
Yeah. But Eraser, come on.
So apparently the Eraser, is 6'10", 220, according to Basketball Reference. And Thon is 7 foot 221.
Wow.
So
we were all over that. Wait, 220 and 221, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they're very similar. Which you would expect Steven to just back a guy like that down quite easily.
Which he didn't do until the second quarter. And he did very effectively in the second quarter, I might add. He just was destroying him in the low post.
Mm-hmm.
With hook shots, with little spin moves. Like, it was brutal. But the Thunder really only went to him consistently and like in back-to-back plays during that second quarter. And Thon, even though he couldn't match up on that end and we expected that he wouldn't, made up for it on the offensive end. He had 16 points by halftime, which, as you looked up, if he had finished the game with 16, he ended up scoring a couple more in the second half. But if we just took that first half, that would have tied the second most points he's had in his career.
Yeah, so 19 is now the second most he's had. And, you know, he's got an interesting game. I mean, when he you know, he started his career with the Bucks, got traded to the Pistons, you know, still hasn't found a regular role, but might now. I mean, he played 34 minutes tonight, has a bit of an opening now after the Drummond trade, but he made 2 of 5 threes, so that was fun. But yeah, Steven Adams.
And I think
Adams,
they were both in the first half, right?
I think so, yeah.
And one of them was wide open. It was like a moment where Steven looked at him, and he was like,
do you have this in your game?
Go ahead. and he swished that. It wasn't even like, oh, it bobbled around. Like, swish. He's like, all right, if you're going to give it to me this open, I'll make it.
This was an important game, offensive game, I think, for Steven, because he's been very, you know, haven't really noticed him much offensively in these last few games. And you never really know what sort of injury he's dealing with. He doesn't say, Billy says, well, he says he's healthy, so I'm going to play him. But this was good to see him get in the groove a little bit.
Oh, it definitely was. And it helps that he had a mismatch in the post. But we haven't, I think I had it in here in my game story that it was like since January 13th was the last time that he had a double-digit scoring game.
Wow.
Yeah, January 13th.
I did not realize that.
January 13th at Minnesota.
Almost a month ago.
Yeah, very close to a month ago. And so, you know, then you saw he sprained his ankle after that and was in and out of the lineup and came back and clearly wasn't that healthy and just wanted to battle through it. And then got that break where Billy Donovan said that it was really good for his health. The next game, he scored a very unremarkable, to steal your word, 6 points and just kind of wasn't really that much of a factor, especially on offense against Cleveland. And so for him to come back tonight and really show that he can, that he's feeling better and can be that big, bruising, big man, even if it is against smaller big men, was a good sign for the Thunder.
Yeah, and offensively tonight, you know, the numbers aren't bad for the Thunder. They shot over 50%. They did not shoot well from 3, 5 of 23. But Billy was pretty happy after this one, which was a little surprising. He said that Detroit was grinding out their possessions, that, you know, the pace was very, very slow, and he described it as a different type of game. So all in all, you know, from his perspective, and you mentioned this as well, that he is quick to say even when they win if he didn't think they played well, but tonight was not like that.
Yeah, Billy's the kind of guy where if they lose, he will likely in his post game pull out positives, but if they won but didn't play well, you can't get him to say, I mean, basically can't get him to say a positive thing. He'll say something nice and then keep coming back to like, but we didn't do this and but we didn't do that. But it was completely the opposite tonight, which I didn't think was a very impressive win. And so I was 100% expecting to come into the post-game press conference and hear one of those types of press conferences. But he's surprisingly upbeat.
Yeah. The guys that did
play. Do you know what that I didn't say it like it was a quote, but it is a quote. Do you know what movie that's from?
No, I totally missed it, as always.
But surprisingly upbeat. It's from How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days.
I've never seen it.
Joe, this is a constant theme, listeners. You guys know how bad my movie quotes are and my movie watching habits are. But I don't think Joe's ever gotten one of my references.
No, I really think I'm 0 for whatever. Probably like 34 or something like that. I haven't gotten anything. So thanks for that. Thanks for telling everyone that.
You're welcome. Well, it was a battle with Eric because he thought that my references weren't relevant enough to... But even the relevant ones.
Well, at least I'm not like shooting down your references because I don't understand them. So I think they're great.
Thanks. Thank you so much.
Yeah, Billy Donovan was surprisingly upbeat. Anyway, guys who played well tonight, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Chris Paul, Dennis Schroeder, the three-point guards that we talk about all the time, they all shot better than 50% from the floor. Shai had 21 points. Chris had 22. Dennis had 18. And it looked for a while like he was going to score more. Like he was really getting going offensively. That sort of evened out, but really balanced scoring tonight. Like Gallinari, another he did not shoot the ball well, but he got to the free throw line six times, had 19 points. So the key guys overall shot the ball well and very balanced scoring.
Yeah, Schroeder. So I mean, it's funny because I keep saying how my expectations were wrong, but we came into this game and we've seen the Thunder have games where they just feed Steven in the post early on and then go away from that, and it's very head scratching. So I kind of expected that tonight, at least the feeding him in the post early on. And instead, Dennis Schroeder was the one who they kept going back to and who really boosted them in the first quarter with 9 points in the first quarter alone.
Yeah.
So he had 11 by halftime and then cooled off. But he was, I mean, we always talk about him being the spark when they need him. They needed him in the first.
Yeah, and there was not much else off the bench tonight. I mean, Nerlens, he played well, 7.6 rebounds. Terrence Ferguson was 0 for 3. Darius Bazley only took one shot in 15 and a half minutes. Abdul Nader played almost 7 minutes. He was 0 for 1. So there wasn't a ton of bench scoring after Dennis. And I think that's why you're seeing these high point totals from the starters tonight, which kind of leads us into another bench topic. Hamidou Diallo, back-to-back games he hasn't played.
When you mention Abdul Nader's minutes, he's getting those minutes.
Yeah.
Instead of Hamidou Diallo. And after the game, Billy Donovan said essentially that he said we've now got a full roster, a full complement of players. One thing that I have to do is figure out rotations, and went on to talk about how, you know, basically this month they've had so many guys in and out, and so now that they're all healthy, he has to refigure out where everyone fits in. And so far that's meant that Hami has been edged out by Lou Dort, who Billy Donovan mentioned because he's been playing so well and started again tonight. That's shifted around their rotation and wasn't the case before they had all these injuries. He was just before these injuries, he was playing with the blue, and now suddenly they have another guy in there. That so you've got an overload, and Hami ended up being the guy who was kicked out.
Well, and especially now with Terrence Ferguson back.
Yep.
So Hami's two back-to-back missed games coincide with Terrence Ferguson, his return being back these last two games. And Terrence played 14 minutes tonight, still isn't starting. Like you said, Lou Dort is still starting. So you've got Lou Dort, you've got Terrence Ferguson, and Nader got those 7 minutes. Hami is just behind those guys, and we've talked a ton about, you know, his skill set is very similar to what Lou brings, what Terrence brings. Those guys are ahead of him. Nader can give them an offensive boost that Hami sometimes can't, especially from the outside. And, you know, he's kind of the odd man out right now. So a interesting subplot of this game and an intriguing competition going forward on the wing.
For sure. Billy, like we're real close. Billy Donovan did make sure to say that even though he's out of the rotation now, Hami should stay ready, and he still has confidence in him, and he still believes in him. It's just kind of a numbers game right now.
It is, and it's not like Hami was a guy who was barely in the rotation. When he was healthy, he's played 30 games this year, and when he plays, he averages 19 and a half minutes per game.
Yeah, and when he sorry.
No, and that's way up from last year. As a rookie, he played 10 minutes per game, so he doubled that, and his role has been so much bigger this year.
And when he got that hyperextension elbow injury, Billy Donovan said that essentially they were keeping his rotation spot open mm-hmm. for him. And he did get it back
yep.
when he came back, but then there were more injuries, and Lou Dort started starting, and we just ran down the rest for you, so we won't repeat it again.
This really is the first time, I mean, we're not really counting Andre Roberson into this mix, but this is the first time they've been completely healthy in quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why you've got some of these log jams.
Yeah.
I mean, like Deonte Burton and Mike Muscala also didn't play tonight, and as various injuries have happened this year, those are two guys that have been on the floor. So,
yeah, Mike Muscala would have been one guy who'd see his playing time increase if that, depending on what they got back.
Yeah, he could have played some four, I think.
If the Danilo Gallinari trade went through. It did not.
It did not.
if you've tuned out all trade stuff and haven't read anything we've written in the last couple days.
Pause this now. Go back. We did a trade deadline special.
Yeah. Listen to that. Read our stories. We've got a lot. Barry had a great column. I wrote about a lot of the context surrounding them not kind of explain why this got the I'm so good at
why
talking.
Danilo Gallinari is still in Oklahoma City.
Exactly.
You explained why the
trade talks were eventually halted.
Yeah, and we'll have another trade story for Sunday, kind of looking at, I asked Chris Paul, Dennis Schroeder, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, like, how did you feel when 2PM passed, team is still intact? And they all had pretty interesting responses. Everyone seems happy. Chris Paul said that, you know, these are the guys now, and they know what they have to do.
It's been a really fun team to cover and a team that seems to have a lot of really good chemistry. I think whenever we say that, people assume that we're ragging on last year's team. Last year's team had really great chemistry kind of up until they started losing. And they obviously still, you know, banded together and whatnot, but there's a special feeling around a group that's overperforming like this one.
Yeah. Speaking of overperforming, the Thunder are one game out on February 7th of the 4 seed, one game behind Utah and Houston.
You buried the 4 seed. One game out of the 4 seed.
I know.
Barry would be all over you for separating that.
That was horribly said. I hope I would
they're
have
not,
written it better.
They're not one game out of first.
Yeah. One game out of the fourth place. Utah and Houston are tied right now. They're
That's
both
crazy.
Six games back. So, yeah, I mean, it's the Thunder are closer to the Thunder are closer to the one seed than being out of the playoffs. Like, that's how secure this team is going to make the playoffs.
It's wild. And winning the last nine of their last 10 games certainly helped that. And the last two have been kind of against not good teams, but they got it done.
A four game winning streak is the longest in the Western Conference. Fun fact, because that sounds unbelievable, but it is true.
But it is. No one in the Western Conference has won that many games in a row. The Utah Jazz has lost five. So
yeah, it's surprising. After they had like a crazy winning streak.
And then Joe's favorite team in the West.
The T-Wolves, 13 in a row. D'Angelo Russell, though, is saving the day. Not this year, but maybe next year. I don't truly believe that, but
I did. Did you see the video that they posted of?
It was very nice.
It was very nice of him coming off the plane.
Like, if Karl Anthony Towns is going to be happy just because D'Angelo Russell is there,
worth
then
it.
I think the trade makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Because you have to keep Towns there. He's your cornerstone.
Yeah. So if you're. Yeah. If that makes him happy. Do it.
I love talking about the Timberwolves at the end of these podcasts.
The Timber Buddies podcast.
The Timber Buddies. I think there's one more, right? They've played twice there. They've played once here. It was the Hail Mary. So, yeah, I think that leaves one game left, unless I'm totally forgetting a game.
I can only remember two games right now, so I know that there's more, that they've played more against them, yeah. But I can only clearly remember the distinction between two of them. That's
two of them were like the most memorable because you had the pass, mm-hmm. crazy comeback, and then Shea's 2020-10 game.
Yeah, those are I'm sure they were out there. That's the point that we are in this season. They're all running together. I was talking to one of the arena workers here, and he's like, oh yeah, you had a story the other day. And I was like, when? He was like, 2 days ago. I literally have no idea what I wrote.
Yeah.
What was it about?
It runs together so much. I mean, we were just saying earlier, like, we know the Thunder play the Celtics on Sunday. I had no idea past that what next week even looks like.
Spurs.
The Spurs on Tuesday.
As a person who, if you've seen the video of our post-game analysis, completely forgot about Boston. Yeah, we are incompetent. Listen to all of our stuff.
Yeah, maybe we shouldn't admit that.
Well,
real time, we do our best, and hopefully it's good work. But sometimes you can't look. You can't. It's one game at a time.
Yeah, we're just taking one game at a time. It would really be a disservice to you guys if we're looking too far ahead.
Exactly, and a disservice to our brains and the space we have up there. So here we are.
All right, that's it.
That's it. Boston 2:30. I like a 2:30 game.
In a scanter.
That'll be fun.
Who's building the school?
Yep. So still means a whole lot to you guys listening, probably. I mean, he's still a fan favorite around here, and he seems to be quite fond of the city. So we will hopefully have a story on that.
It'll be great. Super excited. All right. Thanks for tuning in to this edition of Thunder Buddies Podcast.
You don't sound very excited about that, but I'm gonna try to make it good.
I'm stoked. I am so pumped for this Enes Kanter story. You have no idea.
Okay. Now you've oversold it. It's gonna fail expectations.
There's no way that it's gonna flop.
Anyway.
Between your writing and Enes Kanter's presence.
Oh, jeez. Well, love it, share it.
With your friends, your family, your neighbors, your pets. Subscribe to both Thunder Buddies Podcast and The Oklahoman and oklahoman.com. You can do just a digital subscription if you didn't know that already. It's great. We have so much stuff on there all the time. And you can read about both us. The Thunder.
I mean,
not us. Don't read about us, but read the things that we write about the Thunder. You can read about
other people writing about us as we write about the Thunder.
You can with the media beat.
Yeah.
You can read about your alma mater if you went to OU or OSU.
Or some of your high school
in the area.
But if you want anything past that, we don't really have it. But we do have local stuff.
We do have national stuff. It's just AP.
Yeah, that's right.
Or columns. Barry and Jenny sometimes write about things that are happening nationally, especially when there's big things like the Super Bowl. And Jenny wrote today about the Chiefs.
Yeah. And she's going to cover the Olympics this summer. So that's cool.
So many great things.
That's this summer,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah. So
Tokyo
we don't, not just national, but like international stuff.
All of it.
From the Oklahoman. Subscribe. Thank you.
Subscribe. We will only talk about the Thunder and the Timberwolves on this podcast.
Yes.
And so yeah, subscribe. And we will be back with you after the Celtics game on
Sunday.